Last week, my dad started our series on relationships. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18. I'm going to have the verses, by the way. If you didn't bring your Bibles, that's okay. I'll have the verses behind me. They'll help you if you don't want to try it and get there really quick or tap on your phone really fast. Genesis 2, verse 18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." You know what I've learned is a great measure of relationships, a great way to measure them, is see if it's at the same pace and in the same direction. See, I can honestly tell you the strength of any relationship based on those two descriptions. Because pace is the speed at which the relationship is going, right? And obviously, the direction is where you're going. You know, did you know that it's actually possible for two people to be walking in the same direction but not doing it together? Right? Because maybe they're not walking at the same pace. One's sprinting on ahead. It's actually possible for the same thing as well. It's possible for two people to be walking at the same pace but not together, because they're going off in different directions. Now, last week, the focus of the sermon was on our relationship with God. It was. And if we are walking in the same pace and in the same direction with Jesus, then we will have a great relationship with him. But see, I think we sometimes misunderstand how strong or how weak our relationship is with God, because we're either not walking at the same pace or we're not walking in the same direction. You know, and sometimes it seems like God's voice is getting weaker. It's getting more faint. And honestly, we find that confusing, because typically we've had times when we are walking with God. We're walking the same pace. We're walking in the same direction. But then all of a sudden, God, you know, changes things on us. God does something new, and we don't like it. We don't want to go that way. We don't want to start speeding up or slowing down. Or vice versa. All of a sudden, we decide that we want to do something new, and God didn't change. It's interesting, because God is God, right? And whether we like it or not, what God says goes. And if we want to have a healthy relationship with God, we must remember that he's not just the God who's saved us. He's the God that we have chosen to follow, which means he's our master. He's our Lord. And that means that we have to be submitted to God's direction, God's pace, right? Want to make sure we're on the same page. Now, some of you may be thinking, all right, Pastor, I get it. But why such a focus on relationships? I mean, Pastor, you've been talking about relationships all year long. Yes, I have. Why? Because I have learned that our lives are empty without relationships. They're empty. Some of you ask, well, what do you mean empty? Well, let me try and explain why. I mean, think about it this way. I mean, Genesis 2:18, and God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Now, without our relationship with God, we have no chance of receiving forgiveness, right? And there is nothing for us to have hope or look forward to. There's no eternity in heaven without our relationship with God. So unless we treat that relationship as the most important relationship in our life, everything else is meaningless. It's empty. There's really nothing left of value. Now, I'm also learning that without our relationships with other Christians, we'll actually miss out on so many opportunities to receive blessings from God. Why? Because normally, God blesses us through other people. I don't know about you, it's rare where all of a sudden I see this stack of cash come floating down from heaven and land in front of me. Has that ever happened to anyone here? Or has God blessed you through other people? Okay. See, when we don't have good godly relationships, we miss out not only in those blessings, but we miss out on the wisdom and the just the God ideas that are given to them through the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? God talks to people just like he talks to you. And without those relationships, we're going to constantly miss out on God. Now, another thing, I mean, without seeing marriage relationships between a man and a woman, we actually miss out on seeing really the beautiful picture of what it looks like in the kingdom, which is Jesus and the bride of Christ. And who's the bride of Christ? We are. And I've also learned that without relationships with those who do not follow Jesus, we will actually miss out on the opportunity to accomplish God's purpose for us here on the earth. What is our purpose? What has God called us to do here on earth? It's to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. So if we're not having relationships with those who don't follow God, how do you accomplish that? See, the problem I see is that the church has so many misunderstandings on relationships. For example, they misunderstand what relationships are for, what their priority is, what God has designed each one to function as, and what we can do to make sure that each relationship we have honors God. See, you cannot approach your relationship with other people the same way that you approach God. You can't. Won't work. And vice versa. You can't approach God the way that you approach other people. God wouldn't put up with it, would he? See, the problem is we are constantly misaligning our relationships based on our feelings, based on what we want. We don't base it on love and commitment. And that's what relationships are built on, love and commitment. Now, I want to give you what I would almost call a relationships 101. This is like the base level of what relationships are. We want a relationship with God because he is the greatest in the universe. That's why we want a relationship with God. Because, I mean, when you sit down and just think about all the incredible things that God has done, how could you not want a relationship with God? If you truly understood who he is, what he's done, and just... So I get it. I understand why people run after God and follow him. But see, we want relationships with other godly people because we love the God that's inside them. I hate to tell you this, but people do not want to be friends with Chris Mallett because of how great Chris Mallett is. It's just not there. It's not. You know why people like me? If they like me at all, it's because they see Jesus inside me, and that's attractive. Matter of fact, I have to admit, the times that I have the most relationship problems is when there's too much of me in it. Because trust me, it's not when I bring Jesus into relationships that it causes problems. People like Jesus in me. People like it when I behave like him, right? I mean, look, we want godly marriages because it's incredible to have a relationship where we can put that much love and commitment into it. It is a mirror of what Jesus does with us, his bride. It's just an awesome picture. I mean, and we want, or at least we're learning to understand why we need relationships with people in the world. I mean, we are learning that we need to have a desire to put as much Jesus into people as we possibly can. And why? Well, because we know that the only way for relationships to work is for God to be at the center of them. Relationships that do not have God at the center are selfish. They are. Or they risk becoming an idol. What does God do to idols? Not good things. Matter of fact, any relationship that you have that is not 100% centered around God, guess what you should be doing? You should be putting 100% effort into getting it back to be centered around God. It's true. Matter of fact, the strength of your relationship with God will kind of determine how many boundaries you need to put up around certain relationships. Pastor, boundaries? Why would we put down boundaries? Because we need to protect our relationship with God. It is our highest priority. Matter of fact, the more God-centered your relationships are, the less risk that that relationship will impact or draw you away from God. So today, I want to talk about, we're just going to cover godly relationships. Last week was our relationship with God. This week will be our relationships with other Christians, other people who have decided to follow after Jesus. Matter of fact, here's a verse for you. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. It says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." See, I firmly believe that there are relationships that God will plant in your life for the sole purpose of causing you to become more like Jesus. Matter of fact, that's what we saw in Genesis. God designed us in a way where it isn't good. And actually, that word, if you look at that word good, it means pleasant. It means loving. It means bountiful. What he's saying is, it's not good for you to be alone. It's not. It's not good. You weren't designed that way. Matter of fact, when you're alone, you're not at your best. Matter of fact, let me ask you, is it possible for you to survive in this world with just you and God? See, I don't have time to cover that. I really don't. I mean, that's almost a sermon in of itself. But let me ask you this question. How do you fulfill the Great Commission of going out into all the world and preaching the gospel and making disciples if you have no relationships with people? How do you accomplish that? Some of you would think, Pastor, I have relationships. I do. I have relationships. But how do I tell if they're godly ones or if they're worldly ones? Because that's important, right? We need to be able to understand or differentiate. Well, this morning what I want to do is I want to give you four tests, to see if a relationship is a godly one or not, okay? Four tests. And like I said, I honestly believe that if you grab these and learn them, it will help you. Number one, godly relationships help us fully enjoy God. Godly relationships help us fully enjoy God. Now, you can turn with me if you'd like to Ephesians chapter 5. I'll have the verse behind me, but Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read you verses 18 through 21. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 18, it says, "Do not fill yourself up with wine. Getting drunk will lead to wild living. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything. Give thanks to him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Follow the lead of one another because of your respect for Christ." You know what? If you want to see if a relationship is actually helping you enjoy God more, watch what's being spoken into you by that relationship. See, because being around people who are full of the Holy Spirit is great. Now, why? Why would that be great? Well, because they will speak words of life into you about how great God is. They will help us remain focused on God. And they will actually cause us to begin to enjoy our relationship with God even more. They will bring words to your heart that are full of joy, that are full of love. And it's not about love for them. It's actually, they will direct you toward loving God even more. Look, it makes you want to give thanks to God when you're around these people. Because, look, most of the time when we're around other people, I'm learning that we have a propensity to complain. to not be happy, to use the people as almost like venting posts. I just need to vent to you this morning. I just need to tell you what's going on in my life. I've learned that godly friends, though they may allow you to vent, they're steering you back to God. They're steering you about, no, but God's on the throne. But God's faithful. God will take care of that. God loves you more than you can even imagine. See, those are the type of people that you would be willing to follow, right? Those are the people whose lifestyle honors God. See, Ephesians is teaching us that godly relationships help us remember that he is not there to help us enjoy other people more, but godly people are there to help us enjoy God more. And there's a big difference. See, God isn't there to be the means to an end to improve our relationships with other people. God is the end relationship, period. He is. I mean, until we realize that if we're in a relationship that isn't helping us fully enjoy God, it isn't a godly relationship. That doesn't mean that the relationship should immediately end. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, it does change our approach to that relationship. It does. Why? Well, because of number two. Because godly relationships expose sin that keep us from God. Number two, godly relationships expose sin that keeps us from God. That's Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, this is verses 1 and 2. It says, brothers and sisters, what if someone is caught in a sin? Then you who are guided by the Spirit should correct that person. Do it in a gentle way, but be careful. You could be tempted too. Carry each other's heavy loads. If you do, you will give the law of Christ its full meaning. How many here love to be corrected? Actually, the word correct here in the Greek, it's a word that has kind of a different meaning than the one that you would think of. It actually translates to the word restore. It's actually the word that's used for repair or to mend. It's saying that there's something wrong. Something's broken. Something that needs to be fixed. The truth is, let's be honest, when you're sinning, you're damaging your life, aren't you? You're damaging your spirit. You're damaging your relationship with God. There's no way around it. And did you notice, though, in that verse, the Bible gave us kind of some specific things to look for in people who should be trying to help us? Did you notice that? You know, to get over different areas of sin in our life? It says they should be guided by the Spirit. Okay, they should be gentle. They should be careful. See, kind of hit home. I write my sermons many weeks ahead. And I'm not going to say I love, but it's interesting how God always brings things to a full circle before you can preach them. Actually, I confronted someone yesterday. I had a disagreement with them. And you know what's interesting? When you don't wrap the truth in love, when you don't do things with gentleness, with carefulness, when you react rather than follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, God's not going to honor it. Did you know that? Matter of fact, it doesn't matter how right you are, even if you are right. God still won't honor it. You do know that, right? See, I'm learning that God just kind of, when you do that, you know what he kind of does? He just takes a step back. Because it's not blessed anymore. It's not covered. It's not protected. The Heavenly Father isn't over it anymore. And you know what you quickly feel? All alone. That's why I said that relationships, if you don't have them, will leave you feeling empty. no matter how justified you feel. See, because the primary focus of those who confront other brothers or sisters in Christ, or basically the way that they show that they love us, is to be sure that when we deal with any sin, it will not damage their relationship with God, right? Our goal is to restore, mend, fix. Pastor, are you saying that whenever we see sin inside of someone, we should deal with it? Are you saying that? Well, if you fit the above criteria, I guess that means if A, walking in the Spirit, not reacting, walking in the Spirit. Two, you have the ability to do it with gentleness. The Bible said that, right? Okay. It said you had to be able to do it carefully. If you can do that, now, is it very effective if the person that you're doing this to doesn't follow after Jesus? No, it's not. It's not effective at all. Why? Well, because the things that you're trying to correct in them, they may not think are wrong. I mean, look, for example, there are so many socially accepted things in this world. You know, basically people that, you know, things that people do today, that if you try to confront them about it, they would tell you you're wrong. I mean, look, getting drunk, recreational drug use, or other addictive behaviors, most people tell you, not most, but many people will tell you if you try to confront them, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not hurting anyone. Look, it's my way of unwinding. This is how I relax. So how is this bad? Sex before marriage. Pastor, why wait? We're in love. Feels good, do it. Ends justify the means. Something that maybe is such as small as cheating on your taxes. Well, Pastor, it was a loophole. Look, if the government didn't want me to do it, you know, they should have plugged that hole up, you know? And the government needs my extra money. I didn't get caught. It's not a big deal. You know, these and so many other things that are socially accepted by the world, and many of them don't have any problems with it. Matter of fact, they don't believe they should be corrected. There's nothing here to fix, Pastor. This doesn't need to be mended, doesn't need to be restored. We're all good. If you have the Holy Spirit inside you, you want godly relationships in your life that will expose sin. You want friends that will bring you back to a right relationship with God. You do. All right, you don't, but you do. You see, because you know how many people that I had confront me about my reactive, ungentle, careless way of dealing with someone? A number. We did. Yes, they confronted scary pastor. They did. Now, I'm sure that some of them was scary, but you know what? Instead of walking away in fear, they instead decided to love me. Yes, I just said that. They loved me by confronting me. You know what that says? It means that they love God more than me. Good. Please do. Their desire was to bring me closer to God. They did it carefully. They did it without reacting. They did it walking in the Spirit. They did it carefully and gently. Well, Pastor, I just don't like the word exposed. I mean, come on. That's kind of confrontational, isn't it? Yeah, you know why? Because we prefer friends that excuse rather than expose, right? Those are the friends we like. See, because we don't like to feel that we're being pointed at or embarrassed, you know, for some of the choices that we've made. We don't like that. As a matter of fact, many times some of the bad decisions we make, it's because we feel pressure from other relationships to do things that we know darn well we shouldn't be doing. And sometimes we need a friend to expose sin in our lives. Because sometimes we don't even see it. We're blinded by it. Look, have you ever had a godly friend who was involved in a relationship or maybe was involved in a habit that was hurting their relationship with God, but they didn't see it? How many of you have ever known someone like that? They're going through something that, you know, and to you, it's about as obvious as anything. It's like, if you would just stop that relationship or if you would just stop that habit, it's tearing you away from God, and they didn't see it. Look, there's nothing wrong. I can handle it. It's all good. Thank God for godly friends who understand their responsibility of being willing to repair, yes, fix us when we're caught in an area of sin in our life. Look, sin's a poison to our soul. It is. And loving friends will do whatever it takes to help us remove it from our lives. How many people end up with broken marriages, broken finances, broken careers, broken lives because there wasn't a godly friend courageous enough to prove that they were a godly friend and jump in front? You're walking toward the cliff. Stop. Did you know that influence that's never used to turn people to God is wasted influence? It is. It's empty. It's worthless. Pastor, it would be so awkward. What, them falling off the cliff? Number three, godly relationships encourage us to obey God. Godly relationships encourage us to obey God. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. So watch your step, friends. Make sure there's no evil unbelief lying around that will trip you up and throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. For as long as it's still God's today, keep each other on your toes so sin doesn't slow down your reflexes. Isn't that read cool? Other versions use phrases like building one another up. Maybe your translations. Other ones say encourage one another, right? You know, while it's true that we need godly friends that will talk us down from the ledge, you know what I want even more than the friend that'll talk me down from the ledge? Someone who will push me toward obedience so I'm not even on the ledge. Look, you know what I need? I need people in my life that are not going to suggest that I go to a bar and unwind. I do. I need friends who are going to not suggest me watching movies that do not glorify God. I need people who are not going to suggest to have sex with them to unwind or to de-stress myself. I need people who are not going to push me toward drugs or alcohol, but will push me toward God. I need someone who will encourage me when I'm down. I need someone who will point to me what the Bible says. I need someone who will build up my relationship with God. Yes, as a pastor, I need that. Hebrews 10, 24. Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider how we can stir up one another to love. Let us help one another to do good works. Look, sometimes without the cheerleading of Christian friends in our life, we become lazy, we become stuck, not just by doing the wrong things, but by not doing the right things too. You need both. You need someone to say, no, don't do that. You need someone to say, no, you need to do this. You need both. It's not just an avoidance of evil, it's a pursuit of holiness. I found this great quote. Put the quote up. I love this quote. I don't even know who said it, but I want to find out. Encouragement is giving someone a bigger vision of why their obedience matters in the kingdom. I'm going to say that again. Let it sink in. Encouragement is giving someone a bigger vision of why their obedience matters in the kingdom. Oh, like my obedience matters? Wow. Do you know how many marriages are one decision away? How many jobs are one decision away? How many different things in our lives are one wrong decision away? One. Of ruining it, of it being tainted. Pastor, are you saying God can't do a miracle? Yes, he can. It doesn't remove the consequences. Look, I get caught doing a DUI. What do you think's going to happen? I get caught in an affair. What do you think's going to happen? Pastor, you never would. I won't if I have godly friends in my life who are speaking truth to me. I have ones who see me not just as your pastor, but as your friend, as someone who is just as weak and imperfect as you are. Because you know what? Unless you're just as brave as certain people were yesterday, then you know what? I'm not going to learn truth. I'm not going to see it. I'm not. I still have to fight it in my own brain. You don't need that in your life? It takes confidence that our obedience honors God, and it's the push to keep doing it, whatever form it takes. Encouragement motivates someone to continue running the race that's marked for them. That's what we need. We need cheerleaders in our life. Number four, godly relationships bring us to God. Did you notice that every single one of these things about relationships had only things to do with God? That's it. Godly relationships bring us to God. This is James chapter 5, verse 16. James 5, 16. Most people haven't memorized this one. So admit to one another that you have sinned. Pray for one another so that you might be healed. The second part is the part that people quote, though, right? The prayer of a godly person is powerful. It makes things happen. Why do people not memorize the first part? It's one thing to recognize sinful things in your life and stop doing it. You know, it's another great thing to recognize that, you know, God's word is true and we should obey it. Those things are important things in our life, but if your relationship isn't bringing you closer to God, where you can receive the healing and restore your relationship with God, how is it healthy? You need relationships that bring you to God. You need relationships that bring healing to your life. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Trying to get a lot of the Bible in you this morning. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. You are God's chosen people. You are holy and dearly loved. So put on tender mercy and kindness as if it were your clothes. Don't be proud. Be gentle and patient. Put up with each other. Forgive the things that you are holding against one another. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. You know, walking alone with God in a sinful world with our stinky flesh and really an enemy who is out to get you, that's hard. Why? Because we're easy targets. We are. When we're down, we're open to believe anything that the enemy lies to us about. Have you ever believed something that the enemy told you because you had no one else speaking truth into your ears? Look, alone, we tend to buckle under the weight of our sin. When you're alone, depression, things hit you. Alone, we become discouraged and weary when we are fighting sin. We need godly relationships that bring us to God when we're too weak. So let me give you a few ways, God friends, and I'm going to finish with this. Let me give you a few ways that godly friends can bring us to Jesus. So how do we get brought to Jesus? Well, godly friends, they give us opportunities for confession and prayer. They do. James told us, right? Confess your sins to one another. Have them pray for you so you can be healed. See, by confessing to other people, we understand the weight of our sin. We understand that we need to experience the gracious embrace of God. And that often happens through friends. That's where it happens. They're the ones that are reminding us that God has forgiven us for everything. Everything. Through the life and the death of Jesus. Godly friends offer burden bearing. Bearing each other's burden, that's just a simple way of saying sharing the load. It may mean just regularly listening and praying for a friend who's in a hard season of life. It may just be helping them in practical ways. We're called to enter into one another's pain. We're taught to speak the truth in love of who God is and who we are. Carrying together is always easier. Always. Final one, godly friends, they intercede for us. Now, I don't have time to read this to you. Write down in Mark chapter 2, the very first part of the chapter, there's a story. It's a great visual about friends who intercede for another friend who can't do something for themselves. It's about a paralytic man. He couldn't do something, but his friends did it for him. They brought him to Jesus. They filled in the gap. Through intercessory prayer or just being next to someone, we can bring our friends to God. Asking him to do the greater things in their life that we can't do, but we know God can. So where does that leave us? Well, I taught you that God is the most important relationship in your life. He is. He has to be the center of every relationship. And if he's not, everything must be done to bring that relationship into a place where God is the center, or it will fail. God won't bless it. He won't honor it. We can quickly understand the measure of our relationship by pace and direction. Are you going the same way? Are you going at the same speed? We need godly relationships because they give us the four things, right? Number one, relationships cause us to fully enjoy God. It shows that God's at the center, right? Godly relationships expose sin that keep us from God. It removes what separates us from him. God cannot be around sin. He can't. Godly relationships encourage us to obey God. That puts us in the same direction. Godly relationships bring us to God. See, if you're next to God, you're going at the same pace. Same pace, same direction. So I know some of you need to reevaluate some of your relationships this morning. Do you have relationships where God is not the center? Look, if it's a relationship with someone who says they're godly, God should be at the center. Or it's not. Is God going to be at the center of your relationships with people who are not following God? Not initially, but why else are you in that relationship other than to put as much of God in them as you possibly can? Because your goal is for that relationship is for eventually God to become the center of that relationship. Some of you may say, Pastor, I don't have these kind of friendships. I have casual ones, but no one ever comes to me and speaks the truth. No one ever comes to me and has exposed anything. No one has ever come to me and is saying that they want to shoulder a burden with me. Well, Proverbs 18, if you want friends, you must be a friend. Some of you this morning need to recommit in being a friend to people. But Pastor, I need the friend. I'm going to teach you the same way that I've taught you in regards to giving. Give out of your need. You need a friend? Be a friend. Pastor, didn't you not hear me? I'm the one alone. I'm the one who doesn't have a friend. Look around. Find someone in the same place as you and be that friend. Give in a way that they cannot give back to you. Give in only a way that God can give back to you. That is the way of being able to shoulder the burdens that God is going to ask you to carry. Just you won't be doing it alone. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we need help this morning. Yep, Pastor didn't do that great this week, yet again. And that's all right, because it's already covered by the blood of Jesus. Too often the enemy uses our mistakes to paralyze us and to make us say, all right, you're unworthy. Well, you didn't have to tell me that. I knew I was unworthy. But see, I have the blood of Jesus that covers all sin. I have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's the righteous one. He is the one who saves me from all my sins. And not just my sins, but the sins of the entire world. So you know what? If you feel that you're a failure this morning, you're in good company, because we all are. But I can tell you this, you have a friend who happens to be, his name is Jesus, who died for you. And he not only wants to be your friend, he wants to be your savior. Not only does he want to be your savior, he wants to be your Lord. So for some of you, you may say, Pastor, I am not living that. And I've tried, and I've tried, and I'm not able to do it. Usually it's because you've not put yourself around other godly relationships that push you toward God, that expose the sin in your life early before it takes root. Those that help you fully enjoy God. Ones that help you become obedient to God. Ones who drive you back to your knees, back to the very presence of God. So for those of you who are in that place and say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? Because I want to get my life back to where it needs to be. Right relationship with God. Walking hand in hand with him. If that's you, would you look up at me and raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you this morning. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hands. I see him. Any more? I see your hand. Anyone else? I see your hand. See, God's got something in store today. And I didn't want to preach that. But it's important for us to know that we're not alone. It's important for us to know that God will always forgive. God will always restore. He is in the mending and fixing and restoration business. Some of you may say, but Pastor, you have no clue what I've done. Well, then I would look at you and say, you have no clue then what Jesus did for you. Because if you knew what he did, he went all the way to the end. All the way. My second question is, how many people here would be brave enough to say, Pastor, I need some friends. I need these type of godly people in my life. No one's ever come to me and tried to pull me from the ledge. No one's ever even stopped me from getting to the ledge. I need godly people in my life. How many of you are willing to say, God, that's me? Raise your hand. I want to pray for you too. I see those hands. I see him. More importantly, God does. All right, everyone look up and look at me. There's lots of ways that I could end this service. All I can tell you this is that there's a lot of people here who have needs. Now, you know what? Right after service, we're going to have this thing called a potluck lunch. You know what I've learned? When you have lunch with someone, it's a great way of developing relationships with people. Whoa, why would that God have that happen on today of all days? Why would God have me do knuckleheady thing yesterday? because maybe God's smart and knows what we're about to face in life. Now, I'm still going to pray for you because I believe that God can instantaneously touch you and change you. And if it's for a closer relationship with him, then we'll pray that God softens your heart and you make better choices. If it's I need friends, we're going to pray that God begins to birth seeds inside of other people's hearts. So when you change and behave differently to other people, when you become friendly, that you will become friends with other people. Pastor, no, I want the instantaneous miracle where God just fixes everything, you know, the easy button. Yeah, the easy button is you making better choices in your life. Pastor, that's not what I wanted. It's all I can offer you. But I serve a God who will give you the strength and promises you will not walk it alone.